Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Aarti Pharma Labs Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2025 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. On behalf of Aarti Pharma Labs, I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings conference call for the second quarter and first half of financial year 2025. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings conference call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Let me now introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us today Mr. Rashesh Gogri, Chairman, Mrs. Hetal Gogri Gala, Vice Chairperson and Managing Director, Mr. Piyush Lakhani, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Rashesh Gogri to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on our post-result earning call for the quarter and the half-year ended September 30th, 2024. Our results have been uploaded on our website, and I hope you would have got chance to go through them. Let me provide you with the business highlights. The company operates in three distinct areas within the pharmaceutical industry. First is xanthine derivatives, API intermediates, and CDMO-CMO business. The xanthine derivative segment contributed 45% of the turnover in Q2, and this market is still witnessing strong competition from China. However, our long-term partnership with the global giants and our position as a dominant Indian player help us maintain strong position in this segment globally. For Q2, our xanthine delivery derivatives facilities have operated almost at the full capacity. The API and intermediate business contributed 51% of the turnover in Q2. This sub-segment breakup of this segment is 43% regulated market, 46% ROW market, and 10% non-regulated market. The third segment, CDMO-CMO, has contributed 3% of the turnover in the quarter. We are presently working with 19 customers on 55 projects, out of which 28 projects are in the commercial stage at the customer's end and 27 are at the different stages of development at the customer's end. This highlights our presence in late phase projects. Typically, the orders in these segments are multi-stage products for which lead time is very long. CDMO-CMO segment does not have a uniform sales across every quarter because of these lead times. And there are few high-value orders of which the delivery is scheduled later in this year. It is likely that the revenue realization of this order in hand might get extended beyond current financial year. However, in medium to long term, we have no doubts about long-term prospects of this CDMO-CMO business. Given our strong R&D focus and robust scale-up and manufacturing capabilities, we should be able to deliver strong growth in this segment. Let me now share the key financial highlights. Consolidated financials for H1 FY25. I am pleased to announce that in H1 FY25, consolidated top line was ₹1,014 crore, which was 13% higher YOY basis. For the H1 FY25, the consolidated EBITDA from the operations was ₹197 crore as compared to ₹174 crore in corresponding period of the previous year. That is an increase of 13% YOY. The consolidated PAT for the H1 FY25 was 110 crore, 11% higher year on year. I will now share the progress update on the key expansion projects. We have announced the capacity expansion of xanthine derivatives in Q4 of last financial year to achieve a total capacity of 9,000 metric tons per annum. Till now, we have been majorly focusing on non-pharma application of xanthine derivatives. But going forward, we plan to target the pharmaceutical market also, for which we shall file for the regulatory approval for US and Europe market in this year. The expansion of semi-commercial production block of US FDA intermediate unit at WAPI has been completed and currently undergoing the trial production. With this expansion, we have reached the gap of small and medium batch size and will be able to offer gram scale to ton scale batch size in CDMO CMO business. The solar energy project at Akola in Maharashtra has been commissioned successfully towards the end of Q2 FY25, and we foresee the project to deliver good savings in terms of our energy costs in the second half of this financial year. The greenfield project at Atali for CDMO CMO and intermediate manufacturing is progressing well, and we expect the commissioning of the site to happen by Q4 FY25. Overall, we are optimistic about the future prospect, and we maintain our guidance to achieve the EBITDA growth of approximately 10-12% in FY25 and long-term goal of about 15% annual growth in next 3 years. I will now request moderator to open the forum for Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Girik Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Great set of numbers and very positive commentary on the future outlook. So, two questions from my side. So, first on the API intermediates division, can you share your thoughts with respect to the outlook on the API industry? Your numbers suggest the business environment seems to be improving, and we are able to combat the Chinese competition also quite strongly. And secondly, the CDMO business, as you mentioned in your initial commentary, that the revenue recognition might get spillover to FY26. So taking leave from last quarter's call regarding a 25% growth on FY24 base, how would you revise your guidance for the current year on the CDMO front? These are my two questions. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So API and intermediate business, as such, we have had good financial year this year, and I think we are seeing new products and partnerships of our customers with whom our API is linked for the final formulation being commercialized for the coming period. With that, we see despite the rising pressure, overall growth in the overall business for us. And in case of CDMO, CMO, as I mentioned that, these results quarterly will vary from one quarter to the other quarter, and due to long lead time, and long gestation, certain products have lead time of almost 7-8 months, and it can get, up and down by a couple of months here and there, and due to which, we may have a deadline of 1 year which can get spilled over and stuff like that. But overall, I think we should look at this business as a strong business for us. We have a great pipeline, and as you would have seen, we have more than 55 product projects with which 19 customers are, and we are hopeful to add many more in the second half of this year. And with that, our conviction is very good for this business growth. I think overall the number that we had earlier mentioned about the 25% growth, we are pushing our team to get that growth. But however, this shift by 1 or 2 months can change that number by 5-7% also, on the lower side. Yeah.
And just reconfirming, the CDMO number last year was 2, right?
Last year was 167 crore.
167 crore, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Okay, and sir, this lead time is because of you know, some more steps being given to us in terms of the entire.
Exactly. So what has happened in certain projects? You know, we have been doing the RSM production also and the GMP production also. So there are 5-7 stages, and then there are multiple products ultimately culminating into. Two or three GMP steps. So basically we end up doing almost 7-8 stages in single stream. So that's why.
Okay.
But however, overall for us, it's a great value addition to do multiple stages. It gives us a lot of control. And for the customer, you know, they don't have to go to different suppliers to get their KSM and get their GMP material. So overall, it's a very positive side for the company, because our engagement with the customer is not only for the GMP but also for the KSM.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Last question on the API side, you mentioned the customer's product has been commercialized in the market, and that's where we are seeing this volume growth coming in. Is my understanding correct?
Yeah. So we have had in the general APIs as well as the steroidal APIs several approvals that have come through in this year, and for which, you know, we are seeing strong potential, strong growth over. So our number for regulated and, you know, semi-regulated markets have improved significantly over last year. And overall numbers, we are not as much bothered because, you know, the non-reg market overall profitability is anyway lower. So the idea is to increase more engagement with the customers on the regulated side and semi-regulated side. We also had a Brazilian inspection authority, ANVISA inspection, which was cleared by the company in the with zero observation.
Yeah.
So that is also, we have
more than
11 product approved for the Brazilian market.
Wonderful. Great to hear that. Great, sir. Thank you very much, and wish you everyone a happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, Rafesh. My first question is, sir, on the gross margin side. So I think despite lower contribution from CDMO, our gross margin on standalone has improved significantly on QOQ basis. So is it largely because of the higher API contribution, you know, or anything else that we need to, you know, read into this one?
Yeah, I think overall on the standalone basis, I think for the first half and also for the current quarter, I think we have improved our, you know, gross, 21% has become 23% EBITDA margin.
Yeah.
And at a gross level, it has come to 55%. So I think it is because of the better product mix and overall more regulated focus that we have had in this current quarter.
Okay, got it. Sir, second question on Brentine. So if you can talk a bit about, you know, how things are shaping up in the market in terms of demand, supply, any changes in the pricing, competitive intensity, since we have large capex coming up on that, and how are we progressing in terms of, you know, tying up customers for the upcoming capacity that we have on the Brentine side.
Yeah, in Xanthine, as you know, we have announced 9,000 metric ton capex, and I think it is going to be in two phases. So I think the first phase will get operationalized much faster, and then second phase, so there are two facilities which we are upgrading for achieving this capacity. So I think in the two phase, we will have more capacities faster. In the so more capacities will come from the current level, and then further it will enhance to the 750 tons per month capacity. Overall, I think the market is divided. I think if you consider there are three distinct segments of the market, and so the spot market is quite brutal, but whereas the pharmaceutical market as well as the large consumers market, where we all the suppliers have a long-term understanding, remains intact. And that's what we have mentioned on my opening remarks also, that we are quite confident of our participation more and more towards this market, and we are confident of protecting our overall margins for the caffeine business. And as I already mentioned, that we have operated the plant at near full capacity for this current quarter.
Okay, well, sir. And one more question, and I'll come back in the queue. Is that, you know, in general, what we are hearing from a lot of CDMO players is that due to this BioSecure Act, you know, a lot of traction in terms of the business development and project awards. So for us, are we seeing any significant changes in terms of the either the order value or the kind of, you know, number of molecules that a customer is willing to now work with us on that? Any qualitative color on that because of this change in that, you know, environment?
Yeah, essentially, I think you know, if you take up the entire CDMO-CMO, the way in which the business progresses is that first is the engagement with the customer, then it follows with the customer visit, then RFP process, then there will be audit process, and then there will be an initial ordering, and then, you know, you will get commercial. So these are, I think, 5-6 stages, the way in which the entire CDMO-CMO business progresses. And I think we have seen more engagement with the customers. We have seen more visits. We have seen more RFPs coming to us because of the engagement. And I think all these things have started flowing, and I think it will culminate into more better projects getting added for us in future.
From existing customer as well as new
customers.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very helpful. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question was on the CDMO side.
May I request you to use your handset, please, sir?
I'm on handset only. Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question was on the CDMO, CMO side. So, you know, as you were saying that we have started doing more steps, more reaction steps, starting from KSM, kind of steps. So does it mean that, you know, our margins in the CMO, CDMO segments will increase further given the more reaction steps involved in the products now?
So basically, you can think of us like we have like services companies.
Basically, I think the margins will improve as we do more and more stages, and as we move more nearer to the final API manufacturing for the CDMO-CMO segment. So I think the margins, regulatory starting material to key starting material to regulatory starting material to GMP to API keep on increasing. As the number of steps also increase and also the complexity and the regulatory requirement increases overall. But of course, the margin profile is dependent on the occupancy and the number of stages that we do. So there could be some project which is in KSM where we end up doing multiple stages where the margins can be higher, but it can be lower for the GMP also, if it is only one or two stages. But overall, I think given our understanding of regulatory requirements and also our US FDA compliant facilities with the GMP, compliance, I think we are stated to do more GMP steps also and API as well in future for the end consumers.
Sure. And so on the Tali side, you know, like when is the Tali expected to start operations, and given we'll need to do validation batches and, you know, get approvals from regulatory authorities like USFDA. So like when can we expect Tali to start contributing to our growth on API and CMO, CDMO side?
Yeah, I think any greenfield site like Atali, I think we will have to give a year for it to stabilize, and 2025-26 would be a year of, you know, getting all the facilities started. So it will be not a single day we can start everything. It will be a phased manner. We have to transfer the projects from other sites as they become grow in the size, and all that process also takes time. So overall, I think 12 to 18 months once we start, I think next year and then a half year prior after that would see Atali site getting fully, you know, operationalized and utilized. So from today, it can be 24 months.
Thank you. Mr. Ankit Gupta, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions, please. The next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. The first question I had was a follow-up to the previous participant's answer. So can you give us some quantification about how much of our Zentin revenue comes from the spot market and how much comes from the long term?
For the Zentin?
Yeah.
We are not giving this split currently.
Okay. So my next question is about the CDMO. So we have guided for around 25-30% growth. It might not happen this year, but even for say next year, the current products where we have already started shipments, are those products sufficient to achieve those targets, or are you also expecting some new products shipment to start for the numbers to be achieved?
Yeah, I think next year we will have current few overflow projects plus newer projects also for which, you know, we already have visibility, because I think CDMO, CMO market, there is always 9 to 12 months visibility that we have for the projects, how they are going to shape up if there are bigger projects, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Sir, my, we have great conviction that we will grow this segment, you know, going forward.
Sure. And so next question is on the API side. So if you can broadly explain us what are our top three therapies in the API, the revenue contribution from those therapies, and also related question, what would be our revenue contribution from the top three customers in API segment?
Yeah, I think we have, you know, antihypertensive steroids, corticosteroids, and CNS products. I think these three categories are top three categories in which we operate, and I think top three customer, we may not have too much concentration of the customer. I think top three customer would constitute to around 20% of the API.
Yes.
20% of the, 25% of the, even less probably.
Yeah.
So we will have to get back to you with those numbers, but I think it's the customer concentration is not much.
Okay, sure. So thanks. I'll join that with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal from Rashi FinCorp. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask ki, this CDMO, CMO business, will it like stabilize annually? Can we see revenue growth in the future?
Yeah, we have already, I have told the guidance, which was earlier as mentioned, it was 25% plus, but it can roll over to next year, and we have already seen, told that it can come back lower than earlier number because of certain projects getting forward to next year according to the current situation. But we are, I think, fairly confident about the stronger growth next year and years to come for this segment.
Okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have a couple of questions. The first one is that you mentioned that you are expanding your xanthine capacity from 5,000 ton per annum to 9,000 ton per annum. So what will be the peak revenue potential once you hit the 9,000 mark?
So I think with the 9,000 metric ton capacity, I think we can reach $100 to $125 million in revenue for this segment.
Okay, sir. And sir, what's the current asset turn for xanthine?
Current asset turn, we are not providing this information generally. But asset turn will improve with because this being a brownfield project, overall, we see improvement in overall asset.
Okay, sir. And sir, on previous calls, you mentioned that this entire capex will cost around 150 crores. So does this include the land cost or not?
Yeah. We are taking smaller land parcels, basically, which are... being brownfield, you know, these are land parcels which are near our current site, so adjacent parcels. So I think overall land component in this may not be more than, I think, 10 crores overall.
So this 150 crores, yes, is inclusive of land.
Okay, sir. That's a bit of a broader question in terms of xanthine. So what's the entire capacity in the world right now and how much of it is in China?
I think total world capacity operational would be around 40,000-50,000. I think around 50,000 plus or minus 10,000 tons currently. 40,000 to 50,000 tons. And out of which I think that China would have 70% of the capacity operational. 70-75% capacity operational. We have 15% capacity here and 12-15%. And then I think balance is in Europe, another 8-10%.
Okay, sir. And sir, out of the 70-75% Chinese capacity, how much do you reckon gets exported? What's the internal consumption of China for this?
I think internal consumption numbers we may not have, but I think out of which my gut feeling is around 70% should get exported, 70-75% of the 75%. So 50%, 50-55% of the total capacity from China, global, gets exported.
Okay. And sir, last question. How much of the price is reduced for xanthine and its raw materials since the peak, and how far away are they from their the lowest they have ever been?
I think, so how many years you want me to go back? Because I have seen xanthine for last 20 years. Of course, the lowest prices that I have seen, it went down to $6 in past. Yeah. So currently, of course, they are much better than those numbers. So
in last 3-2 years?
In the last 3-4 years, the prices have been much higher. You know, they have been more than double of that number. Yes.
Sure, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Berman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, so thanks for the opportunity. First question, we are in H1, we are at 190 crore EBITDA. So to achieve the 10-12% growth guidance, we would need to have roughly 230 crore EBITDA in H2. So just checking if we are on track for that guidance, especially considering that CDMO, CMO, some part of it might get pushed out in the next year.
Yeah, Yeah, we are on track. That's why we reaffirmed our growth numbers in my speech.
Got it. Second question, CAPEX for H2 and FY26, and also related to it, when do you expect the incremental Xanthine capacity to get operational?
I think incremental Xanthine capacity will get operational by end of next fiscal. So we will have, I think the entire project should complete by Q3 of next financial year. And of course, it may take another 6-8 months to completely, or 2-3 quarters for us to completely operationalize. So we will, I think the project is divided in 2 phases, and I think this final phase will get over by Q3, and then we will have 2-3 quarters for operating the capacity to a significant level. And I think overall we have invested,
in H1 we have invested 170 crores in tangible assets, and I think in H2 we might spend any additional 250 crores.
250 plus crores. And for next year also we will have another, first half we will do another 150 crores spent.
H1 of FY26, another 150.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Understood. Thanks. I'll come back.
There's no change in the overall, you know, the plan of spending
500 to 600 crores.
Got it. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, one question on CapEx. So once we are done with this Adani and Genting expansion, how do we get our CapEx, and would we first prefer to kind of stabilize and ramp up the capacity before doing next leg of CapEx? How will it change?
So as you know, company operates in 3 segments, so API and intermediate. So out of it, the API site is at Tarapur. In Tarapur, we have space for brownfield expansion for the API capacity. And I think we see in future good demand of anti-cancer products as well as the API. So we are already on drawing board to further debottleneck these capacities and put up some capacity there. Whereas Atali will largely concentrate on a mix of intermediate as well as the CDMO, CMO. And in this segment, it's a large project with 80 acres space. I think we are just starting phase one. I think that project will have multiple phases. So with the phase one, we will have 60 reactors operationalized with 450 plus KL capacity. And I think there we have scope to do, add every year one or two blocks of 250-300 KL going forward, depending on the need of the customer and the, how we are ramping up our CDMO, CMO business. And in case of Xanthine, I think we will be fully, operationalizing the 9,000, I think, and further, which, you know, we don't foresee any immediate action for next few years. We will keep on considering, our reviewing our strategy of caffeine, and then if there need be, we could think about any future expansion, but currently I don't feel there would be any need for that particular segment.
Okay, got it, sir. And one more question, sir, slightly, larger or longer term question, but this 15% target on EBITDA growth for next 3 years, sir, if I look at segment wise, every segment is likely to grow at much faster than that. And I don't know about the API part, but I think Xanthine and CDMO. And CDMO is a much better margin segment, and you're focusing more on API, on the regulated. Okay. So I'm unable to get this, we will not kind of, surpass the numbers that we are projecting, 15%. I'm not able to add up the math.
Yeah, I think next few years, I think 2-4 years, the numbers, we want to be a bit cautious on whatever we give the outlook. So I think this is a outlook that we are pretty sure that we should be able to achieve with the current business plan that we have and surpass it in future. As you rightly mentioned, that if we add up the number can look bigger, but we don't want to overcommit and underachieve.
Understood. Thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Advait, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, is my voice audible?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Sir, just one question from my side. When I was looking at the inventory days, and the absolute value of inventory, it has significantly increased, which to an extent has also weighed on your working capital. Is this something that is characteristic for this industry, or is this specific to this quarter? If you could just highlight that, that will be helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, I think as we earlier mentioned that the CDMO certain projects which have long gestation, and I think it is result of that that we have a significant inventory because we have a sizable order which will get dispatched in, you know, one quarter, so that inventory can come down in that quarter. So that is the reason that we have this inventory built up. But I think looking at overall characteristic of CDMO, CMO business in future also, and our appetite of doing multi-stage synthesis, I think we will have this inventory fluctuating to higher number and lower number. And once we have every quarter stabilized number, I think then we will stabilize some inventory. But the numbers will remain high looking at our overall appetite for this multi-stage synthesis where we do the regulatory starting material also, GMP also, and sometimes we do, we'll end up doing API also. So with that, we will have that situation.
And our own APIs as well.
And our own API also.
Intermediates in-house.
Yeah.
Thank you. Just one last question. If you could just give us a view of the gross margin profile by segment, that will just be helpful. Thank you. That's it.
I think that information currently we are not sharing.
Not sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neha from Abacus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So on the Zentheme part, I wanted to understand that how the average realization have changed versus last quarter in the spot market and the contract market.
I think we are not giving absolute numbers of this, but I think overall the spot market has come down as we compared to last year. I think both the markets, spot market has come down more than the contracted market. And I think we have also reduced our raw material cost. So I think that's how we are able to protect our margins in this segment. So that is what I can tell about the Zentheme. We are not dwelling over absolute numbers of either of the segments.
We are continuously working on cost improvements that will also come, like with bio-based or better efficient boiler and with solar power plant, we will have the cost reduced in coming quarters. That will also help.
Okay, and in terms of volume growth, if we can speak about for the current quarter for Zentheme?
Yeah, I think volume growth, current quarter, I think we had little bit of muted deliveries for one customer. But barring that, I think overall the production did happen at rated capacity. And I think that will continue to happen as we have announced a future expansion. I think currently we are fully utilizing our capacity, and I think there could be 1 month of higher inventory, but I think overall we are quite confident of pushing the entire production out in the market of Xanthine.
Okay, and also on the CDMO front, so in H1 FY25, we have almost done about 50 CR for the CDMO, and we have reduced our overall guidance for CDMO business from 25% plus to let's say about 20%. So in that case, about 150 CR can come in H2 FY25. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, so we are not dwelling on the absolute number here. You can get to those numbers yourself. But I think we will have significant deliveries happening in H2. And anyway, from whatever our earlier guidance and today's discussion that we had, I think those kind of numbers are possible.
Okay. And sir, when you mentioned about the lead time being higher, does it mean that since there are various steps involved, in a particular step it took more time and that's why that has pushed the overall timeline for the project?
So there have been instances where, there was extension because of these kind of projects. There have been some projects which have been a little bit pushed down. So I think it is two such issues which have overall impacted the numbers on the CDMO CMO side.
And say certain projects being pushed down, as in like they are being pushed.
They have been delayed by one or two quarters by the customer because of overall their inventory management and whatever the. For the commercially running products, basically.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Tatia from Intel Sense Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay, sir. Sir, I understand you don't want to give gross margin by segment, but can you maybe rank them between 1, 2, 3, which is the highest gross margin, which is the lowest gross margin between our three divisions?
Yeah, so highest would be CDMO, CMO, then API, and then Xanthine. And overall gross margin this time was 55% gross margin. So they range between 35 to 65?
No,
across all the segments.
Yeah.
So 35 to 65.
Contributing would be
35%.
Yeah. Okay, sir. And then for other question, in CDMO, is all of our CDMO projects are with innovators? I mean, innovator products, basically products which are, under patent or under development, or is there some generic CDMO also there?
No, we are working with 19 customers, and the projects that we do, almost 90% of them are with the innovator. So we have, I think, one or two generic, very small value.
Sorry, I didn't get that name, sorry.
Yeah, no. So we have largely innovator work that we do.
And maybe can you tell me how many of them are, like phase 3 and how many are commercial, some rough idea?
So we have 28 of them which have been commercial projects and 27 are developmental projects. So we are working on 55 projects with 19 customers.
So then my question is, with 28 projects, our commercial revenue is actually very small. So is it like we are like a second source supplier in the innovator product for these, commercial products?
So if you would see in last couple of years, we have built up the pipeline. And with this pipeline, the innovator doesn't make the product every year. They have alternate year production and stuff like that. First year, they will take initial validation work, and then they will give certain quantity, and then the third campaign they will give us more quantity. So we are in that progress of the cycle of management, you know, of the supplier by the innovator. So once we are fully onboarded, I think we expect a more stable, you know, revenue from these each and every projects that we have.
So, sir, maybe the other way to ask this is
let me just add, the way in which we classify is that the 28 projects are commercially, so the products have been launched commercially by the customers in the market. Whereas 27 projects are in various phases, phase 1, 2, 3 of the clinical phase. So in the 28 projects that we are doing, we have certain projects where we have just entered, we have certain projects where we have supplied validation quantities, we have certain projects where we have done only one time supply, and certain projects we have supplied in one year there was break, and now it's the third time that customer would buy. So there are several such examples of how this business operates.
So then the other way to ask this question, sir, is out of these 28 commercial molecules or projects, in how many we are the single source supplier?
No, we may not be single sources in any of them. So
okay.
Innovators are quite, they have supply chain strategy, and they never have single source.
And then maybe some final question is in this commercial plus development, but can you give some idea about the total revenue potential of end customer in these, you know, projects? Is it like, you know, 1 billion combined, each project is like $50 million, or is there like some molecules which can go on and become very, very large?
Yeah, so with the current visibility that we have and the numbers that we have from the customers, I think there is potential of these projects becoming quite large also in few cases. Absolute number can vary, but I think a range could be 25 to 50 million also possible if the product gets matured and we are able to satisfy the customer's need and service the customer in a proper way. Those kind of potential projects are also there in our pipeline.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you for answering my question. That was very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the follow-up opportunity. So my question is again on the Zentene. So you mentioned that once you reach the full utilization for 9,000 tons, the potential revenue could be around 1,000 crores or $125 million. So sir, currently, when you are at say full utilization with 5,000 tons capacity, you are already doing 800 crores. And if I say assume even 20% drop in realizations from here, the revenue should be around 1,200 crores. So I'm not able to understand this mismatch. And if you can explain, are you expecting even higher drop in realizations than 20%, or what's the mismatch here?
I think those numbers are all speculative numbers. So I think the number range I would like to widen from 100 to $150 million. Anything can happen with the 9,000 metric tons. Instead of
125,
I think 120,
it can go higher
also. Okay,
sure. Thank you. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt with Berman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my question is, in FY26, our Zentene capacities, the expansion would not be coming on stream. Similarly, Atali would not be fully ramped up. So for FY26, which segment will do the heavy lifting in terms of volume growth? Or do you expect your product mix, pricing, and a little bit of CDMO, CMO to drive the growth? And related to it, Do you expect that FY27 will be doing the bulk of heavy lifting in terms of achieving your 15% CAGR guidance? Or FY26 can also see a similar kind of growth?
Yeah, I think FY27 would be the year where I think bulk of the capacity will get operationalized. And I think FY26, definitely, I think, as you said, product mix. But of course, in phase one of our engine, will get operationalized by in the second half of next year, and which will be utilized. And then by the end of the year, we'll have full operationalization of the Zanthi. But Atali, we expect to fill it with the intermediate operations for the generic industry also to start with, so that we can, utilize the capacity. But I think, as you rightly mentioned, more contribution and meaningful margins can be driven only in the 27 for that sec, for these two expansions that we have done.
Got it. So any quantitative guidance you would have, or any idea about FY26 numbers similar to how you have separated it for FY25?
I think we would give that guidance in a Q4 call, probably once we have the budget and everything prepared. Currently, of course, we have broader numbers. I think API segment with the capacities getting utilized, I think there we expect the growth to come because the facility, I think the expansion was done a couple of years back, and those capacities are getting occupied, and then we are also debottlenecking one or two lines to enhance the capacity. So that facility can do some, increase in overall production.
Got it. Thanks for the response.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up opportunity, sir. So you said that you focus more on the pharma side of Zanthine now. So how are the realizations in margin for pharmaceutical Zanthine as compared to beverage?
Similar or better. So in pharma side, I think we will focus on the regulated markets, and I think the overall pricing that we expect from this segment being regulated will be better.
Okay, sir. And sir, you said that you'll apply for regulatory approvals in the coming quarters. So what is the current distribution for beverages and pharma, and how will it change once you get the approvals?
See, currently we have been focusing more on beverages and spot market, but now the pharma market, eventually we expect once we ramp up the capacity, I think 20-25% of our overall capacity we want to push to the pharma segment, 20% in the regulated space and 10% in non-regulated space. So with that, I think overall it will stabilize the, margin profile also.
Okay, sir. And sir, what will be the timeline for you to get all the required approvals?
No, so that's why, basically we are doing the brownfield expansion at the current site. So as we mentioned on the call during my speech, that we will file later in the current fiscal only the USFDA DMF as well as the UGMP CEP application. So I think we expect both approvals and the triggering happen in next year.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Advait, who's an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. Just
one thing is if you could just give a perspective about what's happening from a pricing perspective versus last quarter and same quarter last year as far as Xanthine is concerned, because I think in the last con call you had mentioned about there being pricing pressure given the supply. If you could just give us a perspective on that, that would be helpful.
I think as we have mentioned that the spot market has deteriorated because of the excess Chinese capacity. And, you know, unregulated players in China have been dumping the product in the market. So, whereas overall, I think large contracts are also under pressure, but margins are intact because, you know, they definitely follow the raw material cost model and the overall, the way in which the pricing happens is largely basis cost. Of course, it's a negotiated number, but still, I think there is some logic there. The way in which the strategy that we have is that how do we go away more from spot and move towards more long-term market and regulated market, and which can give us stable margins, and we don't have to fight on the spot side.
Thank you, sir. And just one last question from my side. Primarily within the Xanthine segment, do you cater to the local Indian customers or it's primarily exports? That's the other thing.
Yeah, we will cater to all customers. I think in India also there is regulated market customers. There are a lot of paracetamol, caffeine combination API, you know, formulation being manufactured in India and getting exported worldwide in Europe as well as the U.S. Market. So we will definitely target all regulated markets. There are marquee customers also in India and globally large multinationals who also have OTC presence and across the world, and they also require regulated DMFs and CEPs and stuff like that. So we will be catering to all those markets. And that catering can start in next, the current half only. Because it's, of course, a couple of quarter qualifications, other, you know, approvals. And by that time, our capacities will also come on board. So we will be able to start supplies as soon as we have the capacity.
Got it. And presently, the exports, are they more than 50% as far as Xanthine is concerned, specific to Xanthine segment? Or
yeah, yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, more than 50% is export.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for your time for answering this question.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Yeah, I would like to thank all of you for joining our call and happy Diwali. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Aarti Pharma Labs Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.